Here a while back, actually about 2.5 years ago, I had a message on our speech, and thinking about that, I was sort of brought to my attention that maybe it's time for another message on our speech or our words, and just thinking possibly more of myself than any of y'all as far as that goes, but our speech, or the words we say is important, it's necessary. We use words for communication, and sometimes words are not done correctly, or maybe our hearing is not correct, that we sometimes misunderstand, and it causes misunderstandings. And feelings sometimes spring up because of our words. So I thought maybe it'd be good for us to think about that again today. Because words have ability to cause delight or destruction, depending on how they were used. And likewise, our words have the same power. They can bring joy and cause despair. And words can hurt or heal or devastate or delight. Just words. In Psalm 34, verses 1 or 11 through 13, tells us, "Come ye children, hearken unto me, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good?" He says, "Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it." That is what it takes to learn the fear of God, the fear of the Lord. The Bible often connects the fear of the Lord with obedience. Ecclesiastes 12:13 says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man." That is what we are called to do. And Jesus said in John 14, verse 23, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." Loving him and keeping his words. And then here in Psalms, David says that the person who fears the Lord does not lie, turns away from evil, does good, promotes peace. And thinking about that, reverence is more than sitting quietly in church. Reverence is more than that. It includes obeying God in the way we speak and the way we treat others. So Proverbs has a lot to say about what we say, as it refers to our tongue, our mouth, and our lips over 150 times. So I think that would mean it's pretty important. Our primary text will be in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21, where he says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." Our words either launch life or they deliver death. Everything you said this week either assassinated or invigorated the people around you. Because your words have power to help, to heal, to hinder, to hurt, to harm, to humiliate, or to humble. our words are very impactful on people around us, people that hear us. The New English Translation says of this verse, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love its use will eat its fruit." So have you, I guess if you're a normal human being, you probably have, but have you ever looked in the mirror and stuck out your tongue? You notice how small it really is? I mean, obviously some are larger than others, but that's beside the point. But did you also realize that it is the most powerful force in the world? Our tongue. So now let's do a little exercise. Turn to the person next to you and don't stick out your tongue. But just say that life, death, and life are in the power of your tongue. Let's do that. Death and life are in the power of your tongue. That adds a little bit something to it, doesn't it? Now, let's do something else. Let's try to personalize it and use the words my and our, or my and I. Death and life are the power of my tongue, and I will eat the fruit of it, or I will eat of its fruit. Let's do that. Death and life are in the power of my tongue, and I will eat of its fruits. Is that important? Death and life are in the power of my tongue. And here's a decision that I would like for each of us to make as a result of this message. And that is, I will use my tongue to give life instead of delivering death. So once more, let's say that together. I will use my tongue to give life instead of delivering death. One more time. I will use my tongue to give life instead of delivering death. Words are very powerful. The first thing that we see here in this verse is in Proverbs 18, verse 21, is the power of the tongue. This is the word for strength. It's the power. During World War II, the government printed posters that showed a drowning soldier in the ocean with four words at the bottom of the picture. And those words were, "Loose lips sink ships." Because there were spies around, and sailors had to be very careful when they were in port. Because someone who talked too much could literally lose his life and put thousands in danger because of what they said. So loose lips were sinking ships. And of course, nowadays, it's probably a more modern version that would be like tweets sink fleets or something like that. But still, the same idea is there. Words are powerful for at least three reasons. Words are everywhere, for one thing. According to researchers, on an average day, we open our mouth to speak 700 times, using probably at least 7,000 words. And interestingly, one study found that we use only about 700 words that have actual value. That's not very good. And if we speak this much, and some of us might get this many words out before breakfast, but if we speak this many words, we're bound to say something that will bring death to someone. No wonder Jesus said in Matthew 12, verse 37, For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. It's by our words we can lift people up or we can put them down. And number two, words penetrate within. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 18 says, there is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. Our tongues torpedo relationships and ambush reputations. Like a sword, our speech can lacerate life in a matter of seconds. The things we say can either bring emotional life or emotional death to others. Again in Proverbs 12, verse 25, heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. Think of a time when someone spoke exactly the right words at the right time for you. How that made you feel. It lifted you up. But also, think about when someone spoke recklessly around you. I'm sure some of us can remember words that sliced through our souls years ago. Things that someone said that hurt us very deeply. Words spread far and wide. We say a lot of words and they go deep. They also spread far and wide. Proverbs 16, verse 27 says, an ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is a burning fire. Perhaps you've experienced the pain that comes from a rumor that spread like wildfire. That was no fun, was it? Words don't just evaporate once they're spoken. They're burning embers that can engulf an entire forest. Words are powerful. In chapter 18, verse 21 says that they are either used for life or death. Let's say our phrase one more time. I will use my tongue to give life instead of delivering death. Let's do that together. I will use my tongue to give life instead of delivering death. Yes. Now let's consider some ways that we deliver death through our toxic words sometimes. I remember when I was growing up, hearing some catchy phrases, some catchy sayings that made a lot of sense. Some like, you know, people who live in glass houses shouldn't throw rocks. Or like a rolling stone gathers no moss. Some good sayings that were true. Another one was, sticks and stones may hurt my bones, but words will never harm me. The first time I actually heard that one was I was into boomerangs. I love to throw boomerangs, different styles and stuff. I love to do that. And I ordered some out of a catalog and stuff. And one time when one of my orders came, there was this bumper sticker was in there with the boomerangs. It was sort of advertising boomerangs. Sticks and stones may hurt my bones, but words can never harm me. And it was just boomerangs on there. And at the time, I thought that was sort of cool. And I think I actually stuck it onto the canopy of our John Deere tractor. It was there for a long time. But that's not actually true, is it? That's not true. Broken bones can heal, but words can wound and break our hearts. Words can be very devastating. We've all used venomous verbs and noxious nouns and have been on the receiving end of those words as well. Proverbs lists several examples of how the tongue can be used to hurt and destroy and kill. So there's lots of advice that we can get from Proverbs. In fact, I would encourage anyone to read Proverbs. Years ago, someone told me, read a chapter of Proverbs every day. The chapter corresponding with the day of the month. Read that every, and when you get to the end of the month, start over again. Every day, read a chapter in Proverbs. And I think we will find, I confess I have not done that as much as I should have. But I think if we do that, that will definitely help us. Okay, there are several deals here, at least five, that I've got, several examples. And number one is gossip. All of us know what gossip is. Proverbs 20, verse 19 says, "He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore, meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips." In other words, it doesn't sound like gossip is something that we should be doing. Proverbs 18, verse 8 tells us, "Some people feed on gossip like others enjoy food." Is that us? Do we really enjoy gossip? Do we love hearing all the juicy details? It's hard to refuse to listen to rumors and gossip as it is to turn down a delicious dessert. Sometimes it feels that way because we just our tendency is just to hear more and more, and we need to know all about it. You can resist rumors the same way a determined dieter resists candy. Never open the box. If you don't nibble on the first bite of gossip, you can't take the second or the third. Just stay away from gossip. Gossip is usually fun and interesting. But when we feed on gossip, we'll always crave more. We'll almost never hear enough. And of course, that reminds me of the story of someone, a person who was gossiping about someone else in the church. When a friend asked a question to get more juicy details about it, his buddy replied, "I've already told you more than I know." Wow. Remember this, the person who gossips to you will potentially gossip about you. And number two, angry words. Some of you have experienced pain from being around someone who just spews volcanic verbiage. But in Proverbs 29:22, we read, "An angry man that stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression." Let's curb our anger if we have that problem. Let's curb our anger. And number three, lying. Proverbs 6, verse 17 there, "A lying tongue is one of the six things that the Lord hates." A lying tongue. And then in Proverbs chapter 12, verse 19, adds, "The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment." Truth will stand forever. And if we have any question about that, these Proverbs in the Bible have been written many years ago, and the truth still stands. It's still there. And number four, flattery. Most of us probably secretly sort of enjoy flattery, a little bit of flattery. But Proverbs warns us to be on our guard against those who sweet talk us. In chapter 29, verse 5, he says, "A man that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet. There is usually a trap. If someone is flattering us, there is usually a trap. A flatterer is one who pats you on the back today only to locate a soft spot so that he can insert a knife tomorrow. A flatterer is not true. That's not the truth. And number five, impulsive speech. Proverbs 29, verse 20. Seest thou a man that is hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than of him. Let's be cautious with our words. Some of us are got maybe more of the gift of gab than others, and we need to be even more mindful of that. Impulsive speech. We've all experienced the horror of saying something too quickly and we open our mouth and insert our foot. It's just, why did I say that? Let's be a little more cautious. Pastor Bill Bryan says, for several months I saw a gas can outside of Pastor Ed's office. I didn't say anything for a long time, but I finally couldn't take it anymore. Just a gas can sitting outside his office door. When I asked him about it, he told me that he put it there as a reminder that his words either throw gas on situations or his words can throw water to help put fires out. Maybe we need to have a few more gas cans around to remind us of our words. Words are powerful because they can inflame or encourage. They can be used to bring death, and they can also resuscitate floundering life. We can belittle or we can bless, because Proverbs 18:21 says that life, death, and life are in the power of the tongue. Have we really grasped that concept? That death and the life are in the power of our tongue, just because our words. In fact, let's do that, our phrase again. I will use my tongue to give life instead of delivering death. Together. I will use my tongue to give life instead of delivering death. We've considered how our words can deliver death. So now let's look how our tongues can launch life or give life. The Proverbs gives us some word pictures. For one thing, in Proverbs 10, verse 11, I think we can see our words are like refreshing water. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. Honey was both a luxury and a medicine in the ancient Israel. So when we talk tenderly with others, our words become priceless and provide healing to broken hearts. Let's use our tongue in that way. Sorry, I skipped forward. That was the tasty food picture. For refreshing water is the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. When we listen to wise words, it's like taking a long drink of fresh spring water on a hot summer day. That can refresh us. Refreshing water. Then the tasty food and also expensive jewelry. I know we don't wear jewelry. But Proverbs 25, verses 11 and 12 says that a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. As an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. Like an expert jeweler, our words should be balanced just right, beautiful in their appearance, and as valuable as gold and silver. What are we doing with our words? Unfortunately, we don't always use our words wisely. We could ask the question, have you ever been hung by your tongue? So many times my tongue gets me in trouble. Again, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. So now let's focus on how we can eat its fruits. Because in a real sense, you and I will eat our words. We've heard that expression many times already. You'll eat your words. Better keep your words sweet. You'll have to eat them. Let's make sure what we say is delicious and nutritious. Take some look at some action steps that we can take to help us keep our words sweet. Number one, make things right with others. If you have transgressed with your tongue, now's the time to make it right. Do you need to repent or go to someone today and ask for forgiveness for something that you said? Or do you need to grant forgiveness to someone who said something to you? Let's take care of that now. And when you mess up with your mouth, repent and make things right. When you've made a lacerating comment, restore the person by granting. When you've been lacerated by a cutting comment, restore the person by granting them forgiveness. It is our responsibility to also forgive. And number two, yield your tongue to God. Romans chapter 6, verse 13 says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those who are alive unto the from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Turning everything over to God, our tongue included. In fact, when you pray, ask God, as we read in Psalms 141, verse 3, he says, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. I think that would be a good prayer for us to pray every day. Guard my mouth. Guard my lips. Help me to only say good things that will encourage others, that I can deliver life, encourage life and not death with my words. And number three, feast on the word of God. The last part there of verse 21 there in chapter 18, we will eat the fruit of our words. One of the best ways to change your heart and to make sure your speech is nutritious is to digest the word of God on a daily basis. Reading the word of God, taking that in, and exercising what we learned, then it'll be a lot harder for words, wrong words, to come out in a wrong way to affect people, because we will always try to be what God wants us to be. In fact, in Psalm 119, verse 11, he says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Have we done that? Do we have the word of God in our hearts? When God's words are in our heart, we're more likely to speak wise words to others. And number four, maybe we need to ask for a new heart. If we want to stop using death words and begin speaking words of life, we not only need to make things right with others and yield our tongue to God, we may, in fact, need a new heart. The good news is that Jesus specializes in heart transplants. He will help us. We just need to ask him. Only God can give us the power we need to build others up instead of tearing them down. If you want to be a dispenser of words, life words, instead of death words, You need to be rightly related to God. We need to have that relationship with God, have His Word within us, because that is something we do through our words. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Using our words in a right way. Jesus was talking to the scribes and the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 12, where when they had asked about the washing of hands and before they eat and things like that. But he said, O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. And in chapter 15, verses 18 through 20, he says, But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. Our words are but a public announcement of what's within our hearts. What comes out of our mouth reveals what's in our hearts. Another way to say it is that our words reflect our true character, what we're really made of. And sometimes the truth comes out when we least expect it. Let's be truthful all the time. Let's be what God wants us to be all the time. We need to ask ourselves a question. Are you giving life or are you delivering death? Let's say our phrase one more time. I will use my tongue to give life instead of delivering death. I will use my tongue to give life instead of delivering death. Let that be our aim and goal this week, to work on that, to work on our words. And I'm speaking to myself more than anybody else, as far as that goes. Because I feel I have failed many times with my words. And if I have hurt any of y'all, I ask for forgiveness of that too. Sometimes we need to do that. And always try to allow God to work in our hearts so that He can work through us, so that our words can give life. Let's kneel to pray. Our kind and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you again for so many things that you have given to us, you have entrusted to us, and you have blessed us with. We just pray, Father, that you would continue to lead us as we continue on this walkway of life, that we can truly be what you want us to be, Father. We just pray that you would fill our hearts with your word, give us a desire to truly study your word, and to hide your word in our heart, so that whatever comes out can be a blessing to others. We just thank you for all that you have done. We just pray your blessing upon each one here today, and may you just touch each one of our hearts, our mouths, our lips, that we can praise you at all times and give life to each other as we continue to work together as a church, as a body of believers, that we can be an encouragement one to another as we continue on through life. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.